So before I read, let's pray together. Loving Father, thank you for giving us your word in the Bible. Please help us all now to hear it, to understand it, and to be changed by it through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're reading the book of Philippians, chapter 1, starting at verse 12 to verse 26. Verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, that will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So, convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Mike Kane, our pastor, is going to help us to understand that passage now. Over to you, Mike.
Thank you so much, Claire. Well, we are 6 weeks into lockdown, and if I'm honest, I'm finding it increasingly strange to be talking to a camera. I'm really missing just being together, and I know we all are. We're all missing being together. We praise God for technology like this, the sort of technology that means we can meet virtually, but it is a poor substitute, isn't it? But it is better than nothing. So we pray that the Lord uses it to keep us going. And I pray that wherever you're watching from, even if you're alone, you would know that we're with each other in spirit. And most importantly, you would know that you're not alone because by His Spirit, God is with you. And if you're tuning in and you're someone who wouldn't normally go along to church, perhaps you're one of millions who across the country are tuning in for the first time. Really glad you joined us. As I said, we're 6 weeks into lockdown, and I wonder how would you describe how you are feeling? As we've seen in this letter that Paul writes to the Philippians, he's not just in lockdown, he's in prison. He's totally cut off from the people he loves. He can't even Zoom them for a quiz night. And he doesn't know how long he's going to be locked up for. His future is uncertain. And it may be that he is released or it may be that he is killed. How is Paul feeling in prison? Well, Kate was spot on. He is full of joy. We saw that last week. Do you remember verse 4? In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. You see it in today's passage, verse 18, at the end of it. And because of this, I rejoice and will continue to rejoice. It's a theme that runs throughout this letter. One of the reasons he writes this letter is he wants us to experience the same sort of joy that he is experiencing in prison. I think I probably need to say that joy is not about denying reality and kind of faking a smile. Joy is when, even in the hardest of times, even through tears, we still have something to celebrate. Because we know that however big this hard time feels, Jesus and his love for us is bigger. Richard Wurmbrand was a Romanian pastor. He was imprisoned by the communists for 14 years. He spent 3 years in solitary confinement. He was horrifically tortured. And after he was released, some Americans wanted to meet with him. They tracked him down to an address, and a man opened the door, and they got talking to this man. And after a while, they said, anyway, we're here to see Pastor Wurmbrand. He said, I am the man you're looking for. And they were totally shocked. They said, but you can't be. You're so full of joy. How can that be? Friends, wouldn't you love to be able to say in lockdown, yes, it is hard. We're facing all kinds of uncertainty. It's hard. But I am full of joy. What's the secret? I think the secret comes out in verse 21. If you like, that's our text for this afternoon. Paul writes, here's the explanation. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, here's why I'm full of joy, because for me to live is Christ. For the Christian, Christ is not just one of the things in my life. He is my life. To know more of his love and to love him more, that is the reason I get out of bed every morning. To live is Christ. And to die is, do you see, gain. See, live for Christ. When I die, I gain. Because what do I get? I get more of him, more of the one I love. I love the story of Henry Venn. He was a vicar back in the 18th century. He'd been ill for a while, and his doctor told him to prepare to die. And he was so excited at the prospect of meeting Christ, his health rallied, and he lived for another fortnight. I can think of people in our church family who they tell me they can't wait to die, to be with Jesus. And it might be you're rolling your eyes at this point, thinking, yeah, what sort of religious fanaticism is this? Friends, we're all fanatical about something. How would you finish the sentence? For me to live is, what is your passion? What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? For me to live is work. Not just you enjoy it and it pays well, it's how it makes you feel, how it validates you as a person. It's why you work all hours. It's why your family are feeling the pinch of that. But you see, you live. For you to live is work. And then we go into lockdown and the phone call comes, says you're not needed anymore. And you're thinking, is that what I was living for? Just gone like that? Or for me to live is sport. Perhaps you were training for the London Marathon. It's not just you've lost your chance to run. You feel like you've lost your reason to get out of bed. Or your football club was everything to you. It's what kept you going from one week to the next. And now, nothing to look forward to. Life feels very empty. Or for me to live is family and friends. And of course, families and friends are precious, but in the pressure cooker of lockdown, you've seen ways in which your family life and your friendships are not all that you thought. And you're thinking, if they are my life, if this is my life, what is my life? Maybe the hardest thing about lockdown is realizing you don't know how to answer that question. For me to live is, I don't really know. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Russian novelist. He spent 8 years in a labor camp. He wrote this. He said, "Bless you, prison. Bless you for being in my life. For there, lying upon the rotting prison straw, I came to realize that the object of life is not prosperity, as we are made to believe, but the maturity of the human soul." And I think in a similar way, our prison, our lockdown has helped us to see that so many of the things that we're living for are too small. They just about see us through good times, but they're too small to see us through hard times. And more importantly, they're way too small to see us through death. For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's gain. That's why Paul's not afraid of death. But most of us are very afraid of death. Suzanne Moore, writing in The Guardian, she was writing an article asking what matters most, saving lives or saving the economy. And she wrote, "The public knows what really matters. Even if patience is fraying, the fact remains we fear death more than recession." We fear death more than recession. We do. Because if for me to live is work or sport or family, to die is not gain. To die is loss. To die is to lose everything. Everything I ever lived for, everyone I ever loved, loss. That's why we don't want to talk about death. But this virus has forced us to face it. And when you face death, it gets you thinking about what really matters, about what is really worth living for. I think lockdown has changed the way we see things. But the striking thing to me is that for Paul, prison changed nothing. Before prison, his life is Christ. Now in prison, his life is still Christ. And even if he dies, his life will be Christ for all eternity. And in this passage, you get a flavor of what it looks like when your life is Christ. So first, to live for Christ is to care about the advance of the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's the best news. It's the best news of a Lord who loves us, who gave his life for us on a cross, who rose from the dead and is alive today and gives us hope in the face of death. It's good news. And when you get that, you can't keep it to yourself. How can you keep it to yourself? You want everyone to hear. And Paul wants everyone to hear about Christ. So the fact that he's thrown into prison, for him, it's not a disaster. Because look at verse 12. "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ." It's not a disaster because people in the palace guard are becoming Christians. Verse 14, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." See, the fact that I've gone to prison is not a disaster because it means actually others have been given courage to proclaim the gospel, to share the good news. And verse 15, "It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry." Yeah, it's true that some are going round and they're trying to make the most of Paul being in prison. They're sort of thinking, well, Paul's out the way, so we get to be the preachers everyone's talking about. But you know, Paul doesn't even care. Do you see what he says at the end of verse 18? Oh, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. I rejoice. You see, because Paul is able to say, for me to live is not my reputation. I don't care what they're saying about me. For me to live is Christ. And all I want is the good news about him to go out. And because it's going out, I rejoice. And Paul wants our hearts to become like his heart. It is hard that holiday plans have been ruined. It's hard that we're missing school or university, that we're facing financial uncertainty, ill health. It's hard. But if we're living for Christ, there is something bigger than any of those things. There's something that matters more. I was hearing someone tell me this week, they were on Zoom, they got talking with a colleague about the virus. And my friend was able to talk about the hope that he had in Christ. And if lockdown means people are open to God and they're asking questions, if lockdown gives me opportunities to speak of Jesus in ways I've never had before, opportunities to invite friends to church like never before, if they're tuning into the live stream, if they're coming to know Jesus for themselves, well, it doesn't mean lockdown is easy. But for me to live is Christ. If the gospel is going out and people are coming to know Jesus, then even when it's hard, you see, I've still got reasons to rejoice. Second mark of living for Christ is to live for Christ is to care about the honor of his name. Paul was due to face trial and he says, I don't mind if I live or if I die. All that matters is that Christ is exalted. You see that in verse 20? I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. All that matters to Paul is that he deals with whatever he has to face in a way that honours the name of Christ. And Paul wants our hearts to be like his. So it might be you're at home and you're the only Christian in your family or amongst your housemates, and they're giving you a hard time, but you won't snap back, not if you live for Christ, because you'll want to honour the name of Christ. You'll be the first to help with the washing up. Or at work, perhaps you're under pressure. You're on the front line and fuses are short and tempers are frayed. If I live for Christ, my question will be, how can I honour him? How can I react to this pressure in a way that reflects him, points to him? Perhaps you're in the supermarket and people are pushing and grabbing. And what matters is not that I get the flour, but that I honour him. Again, don't mishear. I'm not saying that that makes lockdown easy, but you see, in the midst of confusion, if I go to bed each night saying today was a day when I honoured his name, then today was a day when I did what matters most. So today was a good day. I've got reasons to rejoice. The advance of the gospel, the honour of Christ's name, and to live for Christ is to care about the progress of his people. Look at verse 23. Paul says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. You see what he's saying? I'd rather die and go and be with Jesus. That'd be better by far. But if I don't, I don't mind. Because then I get to stay and serve you for your progress and joy in the faith. Do you see what makes Paul tick? We saw that a little bit in the prayer that he prayed for them last week. See, just as he wants the gospel to make progress, he wants the people of Christ to make progress in their relationship with Jesus. Did you catch the phrase? For your progress and joy in the faith. He's longing for others to know the joy that he has. And friends, I find this very challenging. Because I think the danger in lockdown is I spend this time thinking about me. What am I missing out on? You know, what can I do to use the time constructively for me? I can practice my painting and do some filing and learn to bake bread. Paul lives for Christ, which means he goes the way of Christ. And the way of Christ is a radical way. Not me first, but others first. That's the way Jesus went. So even in prison, Paul is not thinking about himself. He's thinking, what can I do to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus? We've often said, haven't we, that we're not created to do the Christian life alone. It seems to me that lockdown has shown us just how much we need each other. Across the church family, I've heard beautiful stories of people reaching out to one another, helping each other to grow in their relationship with Jesus. I've heard stories of parents who, even though they're exhausted, they're finding new ways of opening the Bible and praying together as a family and talking about Jesus like never before. I've heard stories of people reading the Bible together over Zoom, people praying together once a day down the telephone, people talking about a Christian book they're reading. People have been sending lovely cards with Bible verses to encourage friends to keep going. And friends, if we're living for Christ, that's what we'll be doing. And there'll still be sadness, a wedding postponed, school not happening, can't visit your mother, can't go to the beach. But you see, if you're living for Christ, what you care about is other people growing in their relationship with Jesus. So yeah, there is sadness. But if I can help people to grow in Christ, if I can read through a gospel with someone, and if by the end of this all they know Jesus better, then you see, I've still got reasons to rejoice. Do you see what makes Paul tick? To live is Christ. And the way that flows out into everyday life is he cares about Christ's gospel going out. He wants everyone to hear. He cares about Christ's honor, cares about Christ's people. This is not about minimizing the things that are really hard about life in lockdown. It's right to weep with those who weep. For some, it's the total isolation. For others, it's they've got no space to be alone. For some, it's the stress because work is so full on. For others, it's the stress because the future of work is so uncertain. It's the fears for the people we love, for their physical health, their mental health. We are created for community. That's why lockdown is so hard. It's why prison is a punishment. But some of the reasons we're not rejoicing, very revealing. The fact that what's really getting us down is perhaps uncertainty at work or missing out on holiday plans or exam results. It reveals our hearts. It shows us that for us to live is all kinds of things. Oh, Christ as well, but it's the other things that I'm really focused on in this time. More than the cause of the gospel, more than the honor of his name, more than the progress of his people. Maybe lockdown is revealing that actually these other things have a bigger place in my heart than Christ does. To be a Christian is not to have Christ as one thing in my life, one of many. It is to say with Paul, for me to live is Christ. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Feel it. But dear friends, do you see how wonderful it is to be able to say those words and mean them? For me to live is Christ. To live for the Lord who loves you, who laid down his life for you. For the Lord who is alive today and with you in lockdown and gives you hope in the face of death. For me to live is him. And he is a big enough reason for living. In fact, he is the only reason for living that lockdown can't ruin. We are fearful of the future. But do you see how if we are living for him, we don't need to be afraid? Because if he is our reason for living, then whatever happens, see, I could lose my job, I could get sick, all my plans could be cancelled, but you see, I haven't lost my reason for living. Because whatever happens, I've still got him, and he is my life. I've got him, you see, I don't need to be afraid of the future, and I don't even need to be afraid of death. If for me to live is Christ, and to die is not loss, it's gain. It's more of him, more of the one I was living for, more of the one I love. And that's why if we live for Christ, then whatever happens, even when it's hard, we have joy. We have something to celebrate, because however big this hard time feels, Jesus is bigger. So we can rejoice. We can rejoice. Let's be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Lord, we're sorry for when that has not been true of us. We've not been able to say those words when to live has been all kinds of things. We pray that by your Spirit, you would retune our hearts in line with your word, that we would be able to say these words and mean them. We just acknowledge that's a challenge to us. But we thank you that it is a liberating and wonderful thing to live for Christ. We thank you that living for him sets us free from any fears we have about the future and any fears we have about death. We praise his name. Amen.
So, Mike, thanks for the talk. That was fantastic. And we've got some questions. Several people saying thank you, Mike, for just sharing and opening God's word for us. So God's brilliant word. So brilliantly. Thank you. And OK, so first question is about whether Paul, did Paul choose to be joyful, perhaps by meditating on God's truths? So he may have not been happy, but he was joyful, or do you think that this inner joy flows out into a kind of outer happiness as well? So that's something we could expect.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think just sort of headlines on that. I'm really struck by later on in the letter, chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. In other words, it's a command. it's not just a kind of feeling that happens. It's actually saying, take in the fact that whatever hard thing you're going through, which feels big, Jesus is bigger. And I sometimes need to do that work of actually taking into my heart the reality of Christ and the truth of who he is and the truth of the fact that although so many other things in life are fragile and small, he is big and everlasting. And the danger is I just sort of bumble through my life and I listen to myself too much and I need to talk to myself more about Jesus. So there is something of the active there. It won't always flow out in being sort of like giddy and happy and flight, you know, bouncy. That's not joy necessarily, because joy is something very deep. It just means even though life is really hard and there are reasons to cry, I also have reasons to celebrate that are bigger than the reasons to cry. So it doesn't necessarily mean being all sort of bouncy in that sort of way.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike. And another question is, how do we see that to die, you know, think about to die as gain? We might find this very hard if we're fathers, we're mothers, we've got young children. Can you help us think as through that? Because it seems counterintuitive as a...
Yes. And I think, again, I'm really helped by Paul being honest about the sort of tension there. So in many ways, for his own sake, he'd rather be with Christ. But of course, he wants to stay for the sake of those whom he loves, to serve them. And I think that's what I want to, in a way, convey to the people I love, that actually I have no fear of death. It'll be a wonderful thing. Much as I love the people around me, to be with Christ is better. But actually, I'm conflicted because I want to stay, not because I don't want to be with Christ, but because there's work to be done with the people I love. And that's exactly Paul's sort of tension. He's reassuring them that he's not afraid of dying. He can't wait to be with Christ. It'd be wonderful. But actually, he has a reason for staying, which is not just so he can go on holiday, but so he can serve the people around him, help them grow in their relationship with Christ and get them ready to die.
Thank you. And maybe just one final question.
Yep.
Is just gone off my screen. So how, any tips for how we can live, have Christ as our whole life, not just one part, that kind of, not let it just become another building block, but essentially.
Yeah. And again, I think Paul, it's a great question. Paul will help us as the letter goes on. One of the things he does is he gets the Philippians to focus on Christ, to get a big picture of who Christ is. And he gets the Philippians to focus on people who are good examples of people who are living for Christ. And I think I need to keep doing that. I sort of wander and live for other things and I get sort of seduced by them. And what I need is not to fall for those lies and to see the truth of who Christ is, big vision of who Christ is. That's why the letter is full of a vision of who Christ is, mind-blowing vision, and focus on the people who get that and make them be my role models. And that's really, really helpful to me when I see people going, living for Christ. I go, oh yeah, of course, that's the way of freedom. That's the way of blessing. That's the way I want to live. So focus on him, focus on people who get him.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Mike. That's really helpful. I'm now going to pass over to...